Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 12:38 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is February 21st. The US markets are closed today for President's Day. And I thought we'd kick off though with ThyssenKrupp because the share continues to fall and it's back below the trend mean and at the lower side of the range. And when we look at the outlook for the global steel sector, there's a lot of uncertainty because nobody really knows what's going to happen with China's supply and what's going to happen after the Olympics have finally wound their way down and the priority for clean air over Beijing isn't quite as urgent. So what happens next is going to be rather interesting because a lot of the steel companies have gone through really profound bear markets and ThyssenKrupp is no exception, because it peaked back around the time of the credit crisis at a significant multiple to where the price is right now. But then there's also the argument about value, because we've heard a lot of discussion about the potential for value to outstrip growth, and there's no question that with an estimated PE of 4, even though the historic PE is at 40, and a price to book of 0.48, and a price to sales ratio of 0.1, well, I think it's reasonable that to conclude that ThyssenKrupp is very much within the value category. And it's still declining. So they're obviously in need of a clear bullish catalyst, and of course, being a steel producer, well, it would really benefit them if there was a lot more demand for steel. But they are attempting to sell off bits of the company. So one of the reasons why the share was down today is because the valuations that we're starting to see on the hydrogen sector have been deteriorating and they want to try and sell off their hydrogen fuel cell business. So when we look, for example, at Plug Power, it accelerated in no uncertain terms in 2020, got to a peak around $70 and has since pulled back to test the 20 level. And it's struggling to hold this level right now. So we're probably in for a good long period of support building before we see a significant run on the upside again. So that's essentially more than halved the value of any kind of hydrogen fuel cell asset that Thyssen might want to sell. But of course, it's the same for a lot of these other industrial companies that are looking at the potential for the Chinese economy to slow down and demand for steel to moderate because infrastructure development isn't in the latest five-year plan. So that's obviously a headwind for their business. And then what's also interesting is that ThyssenKrupp are also looking for a partner for their shipbuilding business. And they're having difficulties finding one of those too. One of the companies that they have been talking to is an Italian company and it's listed. That's Fincantieri. And it's also been under a cloud and continues to decline. So even though there's a lot of talk about selling off assets and there's quite likely to be demand for new ships because a lot of the infrastructure out there right now is aging, and even though the dirty tanker index, which is the generally the easy way of looking at the cost of oil tankers, continues to trend higher, and that should begin to encourage new supply. And then of course there's also the fact that a lot of the standing oil facilities, in other words converted oil tankers that are now used for storage, are reaching the end of their useful lives. So there's likely to be a lot of demand for infrastructure development in the oil sector, but right now it's rather difficult to get that permitted. So we're in an environment where oil prices continue to march higher, And Brent crude today was up $2.74, so right back in the region of the upper side of the range. This is still a consistent trend. We have a clear succession of higher reaction lows, and definite now confirmation of short-term support in the region of that $90 area. And we're starting to see that the frackers are moving into places they haven't been drilling in for over 2 years, like New Mexico and Colorado. So we're definitely starting to see a response in terms of some of the supply challenges, but it takes time to get that oil to market. And in the near term, we still have a backwardation, so there's still upward pressure here. And of course, there's still geopolitical tensions between Russia and the USA and NATO about Ukraine, and they haven't been quite resolved yet. And this talk over the weekend about the potential for a summit had cold water poured on it earlier on today. So that's continuing to put upward pressure on the oil price. And when we think then about what the logical response will be, well, the companies that are free to go off and drill some more will. Those that I was speaking with someone on my tennis team over the weekend, for example. He's starting up a new company. He's looking for an analyst with some investment banking experience in valuing oil assets. But one of the stipulations that he made was that the person was at least reasonably friendly towards the oil sector, because they're having difficulty finding people to work for them because of the one, the competition from companies like Amazon for smart people, but then also because of this negative connotation of working in the oil sector. So it's not just about sourcing money to go off and drill new wells. It's about the challenge of finding people to work and then to also say that they work within the sector. So this is putting upward pressure on prices, and prices will rise enough to encourage new supply into the market eventually, and then they'll start to come back down. And of course, then there is the geopolitical premium that's also on the market right now. And then gold prices remain reasonably steady. They were in negative territory for much of the day, but are coming towards the close with a $1,900 handle. So, still holding on to the majority of the advance that we put in last week, and this continues to look like a breakout from what was a well-defined range. I created a number of charts in here today looking at the FANG shares, or I guess more correctly, the FANG Man shares. And of course, Wall Street's closed today, so it's not going to be updated for today, but it did close out the week last week below the trend mean. We haven't been below the trend mean since the nadir in 2020, and before that, it was the big pullback at the end of 2018 when the market pulled back by 20%, scared central bankers. Then they convened, or I guess Steve Mnuchin convened the Plunge Protection Team on the 26th of December. The Federal Reserve stopped raising interest rates. By June, they were cutting interest rates. By April of 2019, the market was at a new high. So the stock market is still the lead indicator. But then we can also look at this index, and it looks to be rather overextended, having had just a phenomenal advance and up nearly 300% in the space of 2 years. So we're now starting to see that unwound. And some of the sort of magic luster that's been attached to the large companies is beginning to wear off. So when Facebook rebranded itself as Meta Platforms, there was a lot of enthusiasm initially, and the company has been pulling back in an exceptionally violent manner. And now we're starting to see stories coming out about women being sexually harassed as soon as they turn up at some of these Meta platforms. Then we can think about Google, where we had the Clear failed upside break above 3,000 immediately following their earnings, and now it's pulling back down again. And some of the luster is coming off of the search facility, where most of the results now are populated with ads. So you do have to kind of scroll before you can find an organic search result. And of course, companies like Reddit are benefiting from that, but that's not a share that's actually listed. And then we have companies like Netflix, and this is also pulling back. And of course, it's also an artificial intelligence type company where they basically curate the kinds of content that you get to see. So there's a bit of a revolution going on against this kind of curated lifetime experience, where individuals have been reduced to cash flows and just digits within an algorithm. And there's obviously people aren't happy with the results they're getting. They're deeply suspicious of the privacy implications that it represents. And then, of course, there's the other point that a lot of the content online is now being produced by artificial intelligence, where they can write generic articles. In fact, Bloomberg has been using artificial intelligence to write bulletins and earnings announcements for years now. So this is not a new phenomenon. But what we are starting to see is that some of the companies that had benefited most from that rollout are starting to roll over. And of course, then Amazon is another company that relies heavily on artificial intelligence, and both to populate the kind of products that are made available to you, and then also to figure out what kind of pricing to put on them. And then it is possible, as an Amazon seller, to simply allow Amazon to dictate the price of what you're selling. And they will then match it with supply and demand so that you'll get higher prices sometimes, lower prices others, but you can set so then that obviously then ties very much into their advertising. So Amazon has increasingly become an advertising company, and twinned with their algorithms, it's also creating a very different shopping experience. But of course, the other point is, and this was something that I had direct experience of, was that when Mrs. Tracy was looking at deploying marketing, it was looking and then just pricing it out between employing the marketing company and engaging with everything that was required. It would have pushed up prices by 40%, and then you're 100% reliant on the marketing working because you're no longer the lowest cost producer. So then you have a choice. You're either going to give over complete reliance of your business to the marketing agency and the successor otherwise of their operations, in the full knowledge that everyone else who's got a higher price is deploying exactly the same strategy, and then only one is likely to gain the buy box, or you sacrifice a portion of your business that would have normally come from organic search, and you just simply depend on people searching by lowest price. And if you can do neither of those, well, then your business fails. So this is the cutthroat nature of the market, and it further highlights the way that the artificial intelligence and algorithms have basically cannibalized normal businesses. So it's becoming progressively more difficult to survive in the online world, or indeed in the physical world, without engaging with these algorithms. And yet the results that the algorithms provide are not optimal for the consumer. So then the consumer isn't happy either. So we're in this very difficult environment for some of these companies because there's obviously a transition is required. But more importantly than that, the share prices are deteriorating and there's interest rate sensitivity. Now, one thing that we also saw today was that the Bundesbank said that they anticipate that German growth is going to be negative in this quarter. Now, they're anticipating that it will bounce back in a big way in the next quarter. So they're not predicting a recession. But the reality is that bond yields are now in positive territory. And it's the first time in at least the last 3 years that Germany will have had to pay to borrow long-term money. So there's obviously an additional risk implied within the bond markets. And we're still in an environment where inflationary pressures are still rising, and there's still a lot of demand. And there's a lot of demand for credit as well. And one thing that we can also think about is that because of the success of companies like Mercedes in raising prices, well, they went through a lengthy period where they failed to raise prices, and they've used the pandemic as a way of doing so by curtailing supply and then focusing on their higher margin products as the ones that they will supply. Then that's helped to really support the bull market. And it's also been supplemented by the fact that secondhand vehicles are really rather expensive. So we were looking at buying a new vehicle at the turn of the year, and it was only a $3,000 difference between buying an 18-month-old car and a new one. And there's absolutely no incentive to pay up to buy a second-hand car when you might just have to wait a few months to buy to take delivery of a new one. And that, of course, is creating demand for credit in the wider economy, because lots of people are opting to just simply go off and spend that little bit extra, borrow a little bit extra, and then buy that new vehicle. So, of course, everybody's going to take a write down on the value of that vehicle as soon as they drive it off the forecourt. And that will not be a problem provided interest rates don't go up a lot. And then, of course, that is the challenge for a lot of people, that the buy now, pay later brand of what is effectively subprime lending has boomed and then bust, and a number of these companies are still deteriorating and still going down. It's part of a broader theme among the fintech sector. So PayPal continues to deteriorate, and the price is down from 300 to 100. And this has been really an incredibly profound decline. And Tencent, which was one of the original fintech companies with both computer games and then WeChat Pay, has continued to pull back from the region of the 200-day moving average, but it's also right in the region, the 1,000-day moving average is right around that 400 level. But it's a downward bias overall. So the fintech stocks continue to remain under pressure, and of course, then the fintech assets are also still under pressure. Bitcoin today reversed an earlier advance. Well, actually, it was that's not quite true, because it was down in early trading, then it was up for a while, about $500, and then it's closing out the day in negative territory. So we're continuing to see that the move below 40,000 over the weekend is being sustained in here today. It's coming back down to test the lows put in January. Now, if this is support building, then it will not exceed the low put in at the end of January. If this is part of a new downtrend, well, then that low will be exceeded. So we're really at the do or die point for Bitcoin overall. And this is, I think, a critical juncture. And we're still broadly, in a macro perspective, at a point where central banks are just beginning to raise rates and the Federal Reserve hasn't even begun it yet. So I think it's reasonable to conclude we're still in a medium-term correction. And if we think back to 2018, it took a 20% pullback on the stock market before the Federal Reserve and politicians really sat up and took notice. And I suspect that we're going to have to see a repeat of that environment in order to really see the Federal Reserve relent from raising rates. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.